When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome in to the Dublin to Denver podcast with me, Cullum Cronin, and I am delighted to be joined by my co-host, Stuart Roach. Stuart, how are you doing? 24 hours left until the draft. We have spent weeks, months, feels like years. Nigh on decades, it feels like. How are you feeling? The draft is finally almost here.
You know, to quote one of the lads from the Arsenal fan TV, I'm tired, Robbie. I think we're all at the point now where we need this thing to happen. I think the way the Broncos off season has panned out has sort of been encapsulated in two reports that came almost back to back. One was the Broncos are actively exploring ways to get up, presumably to target JJ McCarthy. And then almost immediately, two NFL reporters ran with the story that the Broncos are actively seeking to trade back, either with the Eagles or the Steelers, which would land us in that kind of 20, mid sort of 20s range, probably to get an extra second round or to get a second rounder. And they're looking to target Bo Nix. So we've got every different version of every different story called. However, I think it's important for the listeners to know that you could not wait the 24 hours to talk about the draft. You called, there's an emergency pod, klaxon was sounded across Dublin. You needed to speak. You're using me in a way as a sort of a proxy therapist, because I know what you want to talk about. And I think the listeners are going to know what you want to talk about as well. So without any further ado, let's get on to the Zach Wilson trade. Come on, you know you want to. That's the reason why you got me on here this afternoon. Let's go, Colin. Zach Wilson is a Bronco. The words that you thought you would never hear.
Zach Wilson is a Denver Bronco.
What is amazing to me is, I suppose, I actually haven't seen that bad a reaction to it. And yet I've seen loads of reactions saying, why is everyone freaking out about the Zach Wilson trade? And to me, Yeah, I get it's a pick swap or whatever. I just don't believe that there is any potential there. I have seen people saying there's some potential there. It's been in the Broncos Europe group and some others on Twitter. And I get it. He's not, you know, that much older than Bo Nix or Penix. But we have seen it. He has had the opportunity. And I get he has been on bad teams. But let us not kid ourselves in that. There was this idea last year, hey, Russell Wilson was going to be comeback player of the year. Russell Wilson was going to be MVP by some people. People went on Twitter and guaranteed it. Bookmark this tweet. Come back to me. Call old takes exposed if I'm wrong. Sean Payton is a QB whisperer. Watch him work his magic. The Broncos are going to the playoffs. None of those things happened. So, it's difficult to care that much given the what we gave up and the money involved. But what I can say is that anyone thinking that he can magically transform a player who's been really bad and has had a really bad attitude as well. Let's not forget that. I think that gets ignored a lot of the time. It's amazing the kind of memory holding that goes on in the NFL and people ignoring what players do, sometimes what coaches do. Zach Wilson, when he was originally benched, which wasn't last year, it was the year before, threw his toys out of the pram. Then they brought in Aaron Rodgers. Then Rodgers got injured. Then Wilson came in. Then he got benched again. And then there was a report saying he didn't want to take to the field. Like, what kind of character are we looking at here? I wouldn't be surprised, Stuart, to be honest, if he's cut before the final 53 in September. He could just be a camp body to bring somebody in. To me, I do not see. I think it would be possibly the most impressive thing Sean Payton has ever done. If he were to transform Zach Wilson into an NFL starting QB. But this is a franchise who started Trevor Siemian for two seasons in a row, who paid considerable money to Case Keenum to come in, to pay enormous money to Joe Flacco. And I get it, I suppose, a little bit. This is what fans do. When Joe Flacco said it wasn't his responsibility to shooter Drew Lock, a whole host of Broncos country rode up and said, oh, he's dead right. It isn't his job. And then when Flacco was terrible and Drew Lock started, many of the same fans went, I can't believe that Flacco was so selfish. So fandom is fickle. And a lot of the time that fickleness is driven by media narratives that are put out there. People are paid to talk. People are paid good money to spin. If this happens with Zach Wilson, it will be truly amazing. But I'm probably thinking he might not even be on the team come September.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of what you said there, Colin. Like, one of the other things I think that's important to remember as well is that in the main, Zach Wilson has been on terrible Jets teams, and in particular, terrible Jets offenses. However, he wasn't on a terrible Jets offense last year. He was on a really good Jets offense last year because they went out and they got weapons in addition to the ones they had for Aaron Rodgers, who then obviously got hurt in the first game. So like they had wide receivers like Lazard. They had Garrett Wilson, who's a really, really good young wide receiver. They had Breece Hall, who I know had injury problems, and they had the tight end, whose name escapes me, who's a good player too. Weapons that are far better than anything that the Broncos have at the moment on the roster. Now, you know, that's with the caveat that the draft is tomorrow night, although we don't have a huge amount of draft capital. So I think the idea that Zach Wilson's going to come into Denver, if anybody has this idea, I'm not sure, but that Sean Payton's suddenly going to get a song out of him, It's the pie in the sky doesn't even begin to cover it, Colin. It really doesn't. Like, I also then, around the same time, I think we signed the quarterback from, he was in the Steelers last year. I can't remember what his name is. Just bear with me for one second. And Levi Wallace is not a bad player, but somebody listed out the Broncos off-season free agent pickups column. And regardless of who the quarterback is going to be next season, you know, I think most of us are still hoping that we go up and we make a trade, or we go back and we trade and get extra picks. Regardless, like the players that we've brought in, Colin, like there wasn't a single offensive weapon brought in by Denver in free agency. Not one that you would even remotely classify as an offensive weapon. I mean, Josh Reynolds, maybe, but you know, we discussed Josh Reynolds a while back. He is not bad, but he, you know, he had issues in key moments. Is he an upgrade on Jerry Jeudy? I would say no, let's be honest. And Jerry Jeudy has been the disappointment, but I think if you look at the production in their careers, Jerry Jeudy is probably a better player than Josh Reynolds. Like we don't, like, to be honest, Colin, actually, I don't think you should do this given how fragile mentally you are right now with the Zach Wilson thing. But My Lawyer Reports did have a bit of an article, which is the Broncos roster heading into the draft. And, you know, I'm a writer of horror, not exclusively, but I have sort of, you know, a lot of my work has come from that. The Broncos roster right now, Colin, is scary. It's scary just how little talent is on that. You know, I do think if you were to put the roster that the Jets had last year offensively for sure, the Jets roster was better offensively than the Broncos roster is right now last year. That's not remotely up to debate as far as I'm concerned. Unless Javonte Williams can suddenly get back to what he was before he had those terrible knee injuries. So, you know, look, in some ways it's a free punt on Zach Wilson. You know, the Jets are paying most of his salary. You swap a seventh for a sixth. You know, I think like most people, I was willing to give Zach Wilson the benefit of the doubt. I haven't seen a huge amount of him. I would have seen him maybe on red zone. Anytime you would have seen him, he's struggling because he's just an inaccurate quarterback. He has thrown more interceptions than he's thrown touchdown passes in his NFL career up to this point. I know he was injured last year for the last, I think, three games. He had concussion where, ironically, he had already lost his place to Trevor Siemian. We gave two seasons to, but like, I don't know what age Siemian is at this stage, but, you know, he probably wouldn't have cleared 3,000 yards last season, Colin, even if he had, you know, 200-300-yard games in those last couple. I think he threw for 2,300, which is, you know, is nothing. I think there's a stat where he has never thrown for more than two touchdown passes in a game in his NFL career. You know, so who knows? If Sean Payton can somehow manage to get something out of Zach Wilson, then I think his presumptive place in the Hall of Fame, he should start getting measured for that gold jacket, because, you know, it's impossible to see how this would happen. And I think, Colin, for me, the most interesting or the most intriguing aspect of this is, does it factor or does it dictate in any way, shape or form what the Broncos do at QB in the draft? Because at the moment, the QB room it's barely XFL level, or whatever the XFL is called now. You know, Stidham, Zach Wilson, Ben DiNucci it's the sound of a nuclear wasteland as somebody emerges from a bunker to see what's left of the earth. Like, there's nothing there. That's not an NFL QB room, Colin. That is, you know, at best a 3-win, maybe 4. You know, so maybe, you know, are we going full tank? Who knows? But you can't go into the season without as your QB room and expect anything other than, you know, mediocrity and probably far worse than mediocrity. So I still have hope that we're going to do something with the QB over the next few days, Colin. I don't know what it is. I'd love it to be to trade up and get JJ McCarthy if we are as enamored with him as the reports go, or if we trade back and get a second rounder to go along with Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. That, to me at least, is something. But where we are now is, it just cannot be, Colin. It can't be. And I refuse to believe that it is. I just cannot, because there's no way Sean Payton can think that that's sufficient going into an NFL season. And also I refuse because I can't do 17 games of it next year. I'm sorry, I can't. It's too much for haven't we suffered enough? Haven't we suffered enough? Come on.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
I think listeners may hear that when Stuart talked about the fragile mental state, there may have been a little bit of projection in that, which one can understand. I don't think it will impact Stuart. I really think this is probably having another body around. And I think a realization maybe from, I really don't see that much of a difference between Stidham, Wilson and Benvenuti. Wilson has a bit more, he's a lot more experienced. And that's really it. But no, none of them are starting. And again, if I was looking at it next year and you were thinking, wow, there's an absolute superstar at the top, then you'd go, oh, maybe that's the thinking, but there isn't. And we know that it's not an impossible to do that anyway. Like teams have, like it looked like this year that that's what the Cardinals are doing. And that wasn't to be the case. So yeah, I don't think it will impact on what we do in the draft in that respect. I mean, I think realistically, there's been plenty of talk. I think if the Patriots go with Jaden Daniels, and it's looking less likely, though that could still happen. There's so much kind of smoke and mirrors at this time of the year. If Drake May falls to the Patriots and the Patriots aren't going QB, I think there will be a rash of teams that will want to go up at that point. And so it depends on what we are willing to do in relation to that. But, you know, it's very difficult for me to get excited about it. But at the same time, I don't think it makes that much of a difference. The biggest concern for me is that it's not bringing in a winner. It's not bringing in a guy with a killer mentality. You've clearly seen that. And that's a piece I would like to see. I think one of the things that's kind of underrated, like everyone recognizes bringing in that TD was the biggest factor in us winning the Super Bowl. But there were a myriad of other factors. And one of those, I'm not saying it's the largest. I'm not even saying it's an enormous one. But a thing that I think is probably underrated is Stink's mentality and coming over from the NFC and from a Washington team that were bullies and that reveled in being bullies and being winners and believing that they were going to beat you up and they were going to get the win whenever they stepped on the field. And that is something that the Broncos, I think, haven't had. And it is, Stuart, you know, I'm not the world's biggest basketball fan, although I do, and I will stick by this, basketball makes for infinitely better documentaries, I believe, than football. It's just more interesting. But the Nuggets have, I saw a stat that in terms of double-digit comebacks, they're more likely to win than not if they're down by double digits. That is insane, and that's a testament to their mentality. Now, they have a great group of players led by the best player in the league, but it's a mentality thing. It's, you know, we talk about Manchester United. The Patriots had it. All great teams have that ability. The Chiefs have it. I mean, my God, how many times were they? So many people didn't think the Chiefs would get to the playoffs last year. They went and won the stupid Super Bowl. That's the thing I'd like to see.
You're right, Colin. But I think just in regards to the Nuggets as well, the unfortunate thing for us is the Nuggets, because they're a West Coast team, they tend to tip off very late. So it's usually the highlights the next day. But the one thing I've noticed with the Nuggets, and we probably had it with that back-to-back Super Bowl team, the opposition never feel like they're safe because they've done this so many times. So a 20-point lead is not enough going into, you know, the middle of the third quarter. It's never enough. And that begins to prey on the mindset of the opposition. And also, the Nuggets must feel like they're never out of it. Now, they don't win every game that they go down by 20 points, but they win far more than they've any right to. And I think that series with the Lakers could have been interesting, even though the Nuggets have won, I think, something like 12 or 13 straight against them now. But that series against the Lakers is over now because they took their best shot. They took, they took LeBron, going back to Pete LeBron. They took Anthony Davis having a brilliant game. They took it on the chin. They came back and they said, nah, it's not enough. Sorry. So there's no way the Lakers are going to be able to pull themselves off the canvas. So I don't bet on basketball, but if I did, I'd bet on the Nuggets winning that series. 3-1. The Lakers probably will sneak one at home, but there's just no way they're going to win that series. So yeah, I mean, I think Colin, like, somebody even like Ryan Tannehill would have been a better option than Zach Wilson if you wanted to go out and get a winner. Ryan Tannehill is not a particularly talented quarterback. He was on a good roster with a very good head coach, but at least he's won games, and he's won lots of tight games over the years. Zach Wilson hasn't. But I do agree, Colin, and I think, like, you know, I think who was the most, like, we had said here previously, Colin, that, you know, the Broncos are in a good position in the sense that if they do want to trade back and to get a couple of extra picks, there is going to be, like, one or maybe even two mock drafts the last few days said there's only going to be one defensive player taken in the first 10 picks. Now, obviously, they could get this wrong, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of good defensive players left by the time pick 12 comes around. So, you know, I think that at the moment, the story is that the Eagles are trying to get up to get Mitchell from Toledo. You're going to have plenty of trade partners, you know, teams that are on the cusp, teams that feel like, you know, a lockdown corner is the last piece that they need, as opposed to the Broncos going, it's the only piece that we have. You're in a good spot, you know. So if Drake May isn't there, I think, you know, with JJ McCarthy, I think we all expect him to end up as a Viking. If you don't have the opportunity to go and make that trade, because, you know, the other thing is, Colin, you do need somebody else to dance with you in that situation. And also, we don't have an awful lot to give up. Doesn't look like we're giving up Pat Surtain, given though we picked up the fifth year option and he's front row center on just about every picture that was possible for the uniform reveals, which I'm sure we'll touch on. You know, we are in some ways in a decent spot at 12 because we will have suitors for that pick. So if and there is as many reports about Sean Payton liking Bo Nix as there are about him liking JJ McCarthy, if he does like Bo Nix, then I think they should be okay with trading back into the mid-20s and getting Nix there and also picking up a decent, you know, premium-esque second round pick, which is so badly needed when you've looked at the state of the roster because there are just so many holes. I mean, I think we've all become fixated. No, I have, Colin. We've become fixated on a QB. We don't have a running back, really. You know, we don't have a tight end, really. We don't have a pass rush either, to be honest. So, you know, there's so many holes that need to be filled. And it seems like this is a good draft for QBs. Obviously, it's a good draft for wide receivers, Colin. It's a particularly good draft for running backs, kind of under the radar. Sort of, there's a lot of running backs, I think, that are of a similar ability. So, you know, you could get yourself a three down back in round three. And you might even get, you know, a good one in round four. So, you know, I do think, Colin, the closer we get, I think the more I see us trading back. I'm not sure. I think there would be more smoke now about us trying to get up into picks 4, 5, or 6. The way I'm feeling, I think we're more likely to go back into those mid-20s.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think it probably is the case, probably just because we won't have the ammunition. And I agree there are lots of holes, Stuart, but I look at, say, the Falcons, and the Falcons had a pretty good roster over the last 2 years, and there weren't too many obvious holes, but they didn't have the QB. So you can have everything, but if you don't have the QB... Now, I mean, it will be interesting also to see the Falcons... have gone down the Kirk Cousins route. The Vikings didn't. It's going to be interesting to compare those. And I would hope people... There's no point in comparing next year, right? I think the comparison will be over 4 or 5 years to see what it is and how it plays out, because the Vikings were given the opportunity. Like, they could have, if they wanted, really wanted to pay Kirk. By all accounts, he would have preferred to stay there, but ultimately they weren't willing to give him what he wanted, so he found it elsewhere. And I think that's why it's something just to keep an eye on. But again, you can build the team, but unless you have, like, you know, superstars. Like, there's a reason the 49ers were called the Monstars, that they were able to drop Purdy into that. I mean, they're gifted on all sides. Now, that's going to get very interesting when they have to pay Purdy money. We're already seeing the Ayuk stuff. So, the way to do it is draft and develop a QB. But we're, you know, hopefully we do not end up in purgatory. We've covered that ground enough, I think, at this point. Interested in hearing your thoughts on the new uniforms.
They're fine. You know, they're not awful. They're not anything spectacular. And it should be of no surprise to anybody, but by far and away the best of the lot were the 1977 throwbacks, which should actually be the Denver Broncos jerseys. It seems almost bordering on perverse to not pick them. I think it's a sort of a tacit admission of we can't come up with anything better, so we're going to give you a little sort of some crumbs from the table, but we're sticking to this because we've paid someone a huge amount of money to design this. And they're fine. They're absolutely fine. They're not radically different. They will do the job. They're adequate. So, you know, I didn't hate them. I certainly didn't love them. They were a little bit better than the ones that were sort of leaked, I think, because they looked horrific. So they're fine. Am I going to buy one? Probably not. You know, you're just reminded of how amazing those you know, the uniforms, Colin, that the Broncos wore when we started following them, you know. Would I buy one of those? Yeah, I probably would. Absolutely. Yeah, because they're just sensational and always have been. But, you know, they're great. But I think it was more interesting, Colin, to see who wasn't in any of the photographs or the pictures. And to me, I think somebody who was a captain last year and is probably the only offensive face that we have, unless you count Quinn Meinertz, and if anybody's counting a guard, with the greatest of respect, and Stink will probably strangle me the next time I'm on the show for saying this. Cortland Sutton was nowhere next nor near those photos, Colin. Now, I know he's holding out because it's mandatory, but there's again been some more chat about Cortland Sutton potentially being a trade target on draft day. The Steelers, who we seem to be doing an awful lot of chatting with the Steelers, call, their Steelers are being mentioned as a potential, strongly mentioned as a potential trade partner. And I did think, look, you don't want to read too much into this stuff. It's like when, you know, a player scrubs all mentions of the team from social media and then they say it was an intern. But I thought it was telling that Cortland Sutton was not featured in any of those uniform releases. And he doesn't seem to have been a particularly happy camper for a while now. So maybe that's the story that comes out. But you'd also have to ask yourself, Colin, what are they going to get for Cortland Sutton at this stage? Maybe fourth rounder? Maybe. At best. Maybe three. A third rounder would be wildest dream stuff. So then you're going to go with them. They might be better off hanging on to him because, you know, the wide receiver room has already been depleted, although it is a good wide receiver class, as I said, so who knows. But there could be a little bit of intrigue there. You know, getting Russell Wilson his favorite target, but Russell Wilson didn't have a favorite target in Denver. So yeah, that would probably be a little bit of a stretch.
I feel the same in relation to the jerseys. I think they're an upgrade on what we did have, because I think what we trotted out in for the past few seasons were horrific, just awful. So I think it's fine. But yeah, the Broncos jerseys that have always, the NFL jerseys, I would nearly argue, that have jumped off the screen the most are the Broncos throwback ones. And that's why you put Pat Surtain in those jerseys. I don't have. It's the football that really matters, not the jerseys in particular. So I don't really have strong feelings on that. Is there anything else, Stuart, you wanted to add before we wrap this up for today? And we'll be back, obviously, with our post-draft show at some point. We're not entirely sure when we will get to record that. We will, obviously, give a draft reaction show.
Yeah, there was one thing which I liked, Colin, on my report, which was, who is the greatest draft pick in Denver Broncos history? So who would you... It wasn't a poll. It was just literally asking people who they thought. So I think you've got names like Steve Atwater, obviously, Randy Gratish, who actually is now going into the Hall of Fame. You can't pick John Elway.
No, he can't.
Traffic. Some people did. I think hipsters were picking Chris Hinton because he got us John Elway. But for me, I think, it looked like it was the winner, and I would have to agree, Terrell Davis would be considered, I think, probably pound for pound the best draft pick in Denver Broncos history, considering the round he was picked in and just the historic run of form he went on. You know, especially going back to back, he was just about unstoppable on his day until he unfortunately got injured. So yeah, I think I would go with the consensus there. I think for me, Terrell Davis would probably be the greatest draft pick. Shannon Sharp, Von Miller, you know, even though Obama's picked so high, there's been a lot of good draft picks over the years, to be fair. But if I'm going to have to pick one, I'm going to pick Terrell.
Yeah, I mean, difficult to go against that. Shannon is obviously another one who jumps out, and you've mentioned some great names there. Carl Mech is worth mentioning. Mecklenburg another fantastic
drafted in a round that doesn't even exist anymore.
No longer exists. Yeah. Stuart, we're ending on far too positive a note. I want to just bring in the storm clouds with the reports that I saw. And Andy Reid is going to be signing a contract extension with the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, God, to be honest, it's at the stage now where that we're so far away from them that it doesn't even, you know, it barely even registers as an irritant. It's like that's annoying news for the Bills and probably for the Texans and for the Niners, you know, teams like that. For us, it's just, yeah, you know, great, whatever.
Fine. Yeah.
We'll hopefully in a few years it'll become relevant. The Andy Reid continuing on as the head coach. But right now, it's like we've got so much of our own house to put in order. We can't even be bothering thinking about somebody else's. You know, as long as Andy Reid is there, as long as he's healthy,
you know, that's
their AFC Championship game year in, year out without fail. They are the new Patriots, Colin. They're the new Patriots. Without the cheating, it looks like, which makes it even worse.
Yeah. Like, I mean.
Alleged cheating. Sorry, just thinking I didn't the thing shut down. The alleged tune.
I suppose what's frustrating for a brother like it was Shanahan came to like, you know, was head coach ultimately at the tail end of Elway's career. You know, Andy Reid got the, you know, the Chiefs ended up looking like they got Andy Reid when Andy Reid had learned lessons. And then they were able to pair him with the talent of Patrick Mahomes. It just seems very unfair.
It's up there with the let's not hire Kyle Shanahan, let's hire Vance Joseph instead. Like, there is your sliding doors moment if ever there was one. I'm not saying Kyle Shanahan would have won us or got us to Super Bowl after Super Bowl, but I think he certainly would not have accepted the absolute horror show that's been the offense for the last couple of seasons. So hey, you know, like, there's no point in looking back. He said, looking back.
well, we will be back when we will know how Denver are going to approach the quarterback position for the 2024 season, how we are going to tackle those Kansas City Chiefs. The Chargers, the Raiders, undoubtedly, the good thing for all of us is that the Raiders are going to find a way to Raider in the draft. So that will give us at least a little bit of comic relief to deflect from our own inadequacies. You can find Stuart over on Twitter at PurpleHeartTC. I'm on across social media at Colum from Cork. If you enjoyed the show, please do rate, review, and subscribe, or tell a friend about us.
Colum, I will say this to anyone who listens. One way or the other, the next podcast that we record is going to be an absolute doozy. One way or the other, it could be that most uplifting, happiest we've been in an age, or it will be like Napoleon's retreat from Moscow. It will just be beyond, it will beggar belief just how bleak it will get if we make a Hames, as they say over here. If we make a Hames of this draft, we will sink to new depths. But it will be memorable. So please join us next time, one way or the other.
All that remains to be said then is go Broncos.
Go Zach Wilson. Go Broncos.